Will you join me in our opening prayer? Let us pray together.
Almighty God, from whom all thoughts of truth and peace kindle, we pray thee, in the hearts of all persons the true love of peace, and guide with thy pure and peaceable wisdom those who have taken counsel for the nations of the world, that in tranquility thy kingdom may grow, till the earth is filled with knowledge of thy love, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand.
God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Seated, and let the little children, boys and girls, come forward. Jenna, it's thee and me today, isn't it? That's all right. I'll show you this and you can see it up close. Obviously, that's a model of a church, but it's more than that. Look at this. Can you all hear that? Amazing grace. It starts like this. Gets slower and slower. It's because I didn't wind it very. What is this going to need in order to keep it going? I need to wind it up more, doesn't it? But I didn't, because I didn't want it playing during my sermon, because it'll keep on playing. And I didn't know how to make it be quiet. But there's a story here about church. You see, it's all wound up. The doors open. The preacher preaches. And then he goes back into the church. Hopefully to get inspired for more sermons. That's what we preachers and you laity do. We work every day to see what God wants us to do today, what he wants me to preach about every Sunday, and so on. So this is what happens when we're wound up. We come and we go. The doors are open and the doors close, and so on. That's the way it is with our hearts. Now, it quit. Why? Because it ran down, didn't it? Do churches ever wear out and get tired? Sometimes they do. I heard somebody say yes. Especially those of us that have a decade or two on us. We get tired sometimes. But guess what? We can get wound up again by going to God, asking God's blessings, and then the Holy Spirit comes, and all of a sudden, the tune is going again. That's the way life is, Jenna. We get tired, but then we get picked up. The door closes, the preacher goes inside, more sermons. The doors close, the laity go, they work, they serve, they pray for the church, pray for each other, pray for the preacher, and this is life. This is the way it works. But remember, to keep on going, we have to wind it up. We have to wind up the spring, and then we'll have Amazing Grace play. To wind up the spring means we pray. We pray to God and say, God, come into my heart. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. This is life. Let's have a prayer. Thank you, O God, for little models such as this, as well as the music that goes with it and plays a very meaningful song, Amazing Grace. Help us learn from the parable of the church, opening the doors and shutting the doors. Help us always, O Lord, to open the doors of our hearts, that you can enter, that you can give us energy, that you can bless us no matter what age we are, that we can be a credit and a witness to your holy church. Amen. And thank you, Jenna, for coming forward. Your prayer concerns, you see the back of the bulletin here. We are delighted to see Larry McNally back in the choir. We saved your seat. And he told me a while ago he passed his treadmill test, right? So that means your heart is beating. It's good. His heart is beating. So you did well. We have been praying for you and Alice. We certainly have, and your family.
Thank you very much.
Very proud of the docs and the folks that work with you, and proud of you. You did very well. Your other concerns you see there listed, and there still will be others. Please, on the Ritual of Friendship pads, would you write down your prayer concerns so that Wanda and I can glean the information as we take up and look at the blanks, Ritual Friendship pad blanks, and go through them during the week. So we have opportunities to remember each other. Be sure you put your name down as well as the address of the folks that you want the staff to remember in prayers. We will certainly acknowledge that as well. Now let us go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessings with us. Holy, holy, holy is your name, O Lord. Holy, 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 we sing to you our praises. For you are holy, you are set apart, you are special, for you are God. O God, we give you thanks this day, even as we praise your name for all the things you've let us have as we live and move and have our being on this wonderful creation of yours. Help us always to recognize and to realize that your creation is still being formed, that you rested for one day but then went back to work the first of the following week. Help us understand that you need us to continue your work of creation, of making order out of chaos. And Lord, thank you for entrusting us with your presence, your spirit, your message, and your mission. Lord, we confess to you that at times we simply have taken you for granted. At times we have taken your creation as something that we're entitled to have. At times we have taken the richness and the freedoms of this country as something that we are due rather than a privilege to maintain. So today we give you thanks for America. We give you thanks for all the freedoms that our forebears put in a constitution and guaranteed us that we are entitled to because we're citizens of this great nation. But just as your creation is not finished, O Lord, neither is this country. And as we read our Constitution, we recognize that there are some people who are not allowed freedoms that many of us take for granted, that even some of us do not have opportunities that others have. So let us strive. Let us work to make things right, not just with your creation, but also this country, because we recognize that the genius of our forebears, with your wisdom, helped create this grand country. It is special, just as your creation is special. So bless us all. Help us in every way to be wonderful followers of yours as well as responsible citizens of this nation. Now, Lord, there are many things that we wish to approach your throne of grace today in prayer. Those listed in our bulletin, we remember them. We remember the issues that they are having to deal with. We certainly remember our shut-ins, many who would be here were it not for infirmities of health, those who are out of town, celebrating with family and friends. We ask that they enjoy their associates as well as we ask that you would give them traveling mercies to return home in due time. Lord, the issues of our day, when we turn on a news broadcast, we see all the places where the Prince of Peace, the Prince of this world, seems to be winning. Open and armed conflict, oppression, religious wars, exploitations, and Lord, certainly disease. the issues of the Ebola virus, taking Africa the way it is. Lord, help us find out what to do to help the situation across the board. Bless our doctors and nurses and research scientists that antidotes indeed may be found to help the poor people stricken with this deadly virus. Lord, we pray for our church and churches everywhere. All of us need that infusion of your Spirit, that doors can be opened and closed, open to service, but closed as we worship and have you come to us without distraction, without our problems, that we can close them off and receive your full blessings. All these things, O Lord, we pray in the name of the Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Is exceedingly generous with all of us. It only makes sense and is only proper for us to be generous with the Lord's work. He wants our tithes, expects our tithes, and we have offerings that we give that is beyond the tithe. So let us worship him with tithes and also our offerings. Will the ushers come forward?
Thank you.
give back to you, O God, that which is your own anyway. Thank you so much for our opportunities to earn, to work, to share, and to give to you and your causes throughout this your world. Thank you for the opportunity, and we ask that you bless this money as we give it to you. Amen. Let the congregation be seated. The scripture lesson for today is found in Matthew from chapter number 16, beginning with verse 13 and then reading through verse 20. So let us hear the word of the Lord. This is the gospel lesson. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Amen. And here ends this reading from God's most holy word. Let us bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, be present with us during the preaching and the hearing of this sermon. And may your word for our day and the times in which we live be heard among these words and our reflections. Amen. We have a most interesting text for today. It's called the Petrine Confession. Peter's confession as to who Jesus is. Now, my dear friends, all of us, almost every day, have this very question put to us. Who is Jesus for this moment? What does Jesus wish for me to do or say in this hour? Jesus simply put it to his disciples. He wanted to know who people said he was. John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Now, that is what we call your ordinary reception of knowledge. It's what we're taught by our family, usually. Many of the times when we will parrot or say what we've been taught from earliest times. And this is good. This is called Christian education. We think, and then we answer. But at some point, sooner or later, we have to answer the question, but who do I, or who do you, in this case, say that Jesus is? Not what we learned growing up at our mother's and dad's knees, but how does it apply for us today, right now? And Simon said, "Well, you are the Messiah. Yes, you are, the Son of the living God." Now, that was a revelation. And today we're going to be talking about revelations and straightforward answers that we've been taught. Insights that we are given from God Himself. That's another way, another level of having information that we can live with and work with. It is different from the usual, this is the doctrine of the church, or that is what you're supposed to say about Jesus, and so on. It's what you say and what I say when Jesus asks us face to face, who do you say that I am? He comes from God, and that's what Jesus said to Simon. You are blessed, Simon. And you know what I'm going to do? He says, you are Peter, and on this rock, and we don't see this in the English, but in the Greek, Petra and Petras play on the same root word. Peter and rock come from the same Greek word. The suffixes are changed somewhat. And that's what Jesus is doing. And on this rock, you are Peter, and on this rock, it's a synonym for Peter in the Greek, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Now, the gates of Hades, taken in that context, very important here, because a gate is a very strong place in the wall. It's vulnerable, mind you, because it opens and shuts. So a defensive work behind it and in front of it, that would be in place at all times. The gates of Hades. Now, we've talked about Hades before and at Bible study. Hades, hell. That's what occurs when we begin to disintegrate, when we begin to scatter. All of us know what it's like to wake up and we are in 50 million directions all at once. Sometimes I'm so scattered when I wake up that I put my coffee down and I have to hunt all over the house to find out where I put it. Is anybody like that besides myself? Would you like to confess? Some people are pointing fingers at others. Yeah, it's because we're preoccupied. This very morning I said I was still asleep. That's true too. But when we can't think because of distractions, we begin to disintegrate. We keep that up and we literally fall apart. We have to rest. That's an interpretation of Hades, which talks about disintegration as opposed to integration. And we have to monitor that every moment of every day, and we call it concentration, focusing. You ever seen a ball player try to play ball and he's not had his head in the game? He has a bouncing ball hit his way. And while he can no more field it than he can fly, his head wasn't in the game. His eyes weren't looking at the ball. We see this. It's called an error. And at times we live in errors. Now the church is the issue of question. You are Peter the rock. And on this rock I'm going to build my church. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Furthermore, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever you loose or set free on earth is set free in heaven. That is power, folks. That is what church does. It is powerful. We have the privilege of praying for people or not praying for people. How many people are not nearly as well off because we as a church haven't prayed for them? We can't pray too much. And prayer really matters. St. Paul went so far as to say, to pray without ceasing. Prayer is critical. You and I know this. We've seen it and we have experienced it. And that's part, just part of a definition of binding on earth, bound in heaven, loosing or setting free on earth and setting it free in heaven. The agent is through prayer. But now let's look at specifically the rock. Peter the rock, and on this rock I'll build my church. Our phrase today, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. The series has been going on now for a number of weeks. We're almost through with it. But we stated a while ago, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Now we said we believe in it, but what does it mean? I remember at times we Protestants have gotten a lot been out of shape because we thought the Apostles' Creed said we believed in the Roman Catholic Church, and we didn't want those Catholics, you see. We didn't want to identify with them at all. Only way we're identifying with them is to happen to be the name Catholic. Now, I can dispel a little bit of anxiety, if it still exists, by pointing out that Catholic simply, straightforwardly, means universal. You could easily say, I believe in the Holy Universal Church. But Catholic is in the Greek, and it goes way on back to the time when the apostles, each of them, gave their contribution for this creed, and they used Catholic as we would use universal. So I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. But let's look at the word holy first, since it comes before Catholic. What is holy? Holy is set apart. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty is one of our hymns of the faith. We talk about a holy God. We talk about being whole. That's with a W, W-H-O-L-E. It's not an accident that whole and holy are spelt one with a W and one without the W, because holy means together. It also means set apart from that which is scattered. You and I know when we're having a good day, we feel whole. We can relate it to motors. We can say the engine is clicking on all eight cylinders, if it has eight cylinders, right? Or in a football game, when we see a team coming together and you see the line pushing together and the defensive line goes back a couple of yards before they even have a charge to try to get the quarterback. They are clicking. They are whole. They are pushing. They are focused. They are together. That which is whole or holy is also understood as that which is sacred. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and those seraphims were saying, holy, 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 that's God. God is high. God is lifted up. God is whole. God is not scattered. The holy aspect of life, we get glimpses of it. There's always something that's going to pull us away from being focused. Always something that's going to mess up our perfect day. You know what I'm saying as well as I. It simply is called life. So for us to believe in a holy church, that means there's an essence about the church which is godlike. And we know it and we sense it when things are going so well in a church. People love each other. People care about each other. People pray for each other, and people worship together with each other. This is your focus. And we understand that God comes and is seen and felt and understood with God's people. Those are times when the church truly is holy. Now, you and I both know that churches can really get into rows. Oh, my goodness gracious. Being a pastor for 42 years before I came out of retirement and have the privilege of serving you, I saw lots of them. Sometimes they can be very brutal. Sometimes it's let's get the pastor time. You know what I'm saying? Instead of food for lunch, they have the pastor for lunch. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, this is how people are. This is how churches are. But in spite of all the human nature that all of us exhibit from time to time, there is still that aspect when church is also holy. It is holy and it is universal, and every church has the opportunity for allowing God to come and to be holy and to see and to hear and to feel his holy presence in what we do, whether it be worship or service or sharing or mission. Now, the church. On this rock I will build my church. Roman Catholics and we differ on what Jesus meant on this rock. Is it the person, Simon Peter, that can be interpreted that way? Or is it his confession, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? And in church history, it spins out parallel lines And we see both of them. Both are likely true. The Roman Catholics will say Peter is the first pope. And all the popes from Peter on to the present, Pope Francis, they are in his tradition consecutively following Simon Peter. Now, in the Middle Ages, on one occasion, they had two popes, and it wasn't even in Rome, it was in Avignon in France, where the center of the church was. So even the Roman Catholic Church has had their really distortions when it wasn't too holy as a church. One or two times there was a woman who was pope. And that was interesting too, back in the Middle Ages as well. But be that as it may, the Catholics believe it is Peter, the person on which Jesus is going to build his church. And that is the Roman Catholic tradition right there. The pope is the head of the church in the tradition of Simon Peter, the first pope. I thoroughly enjoy my Catholic colleagues when we talk about celibacy and marriage of the priest, which of course they do not believe in. And I would say to my Catholic clergy friends, I said, how come you don't marry? Well, we don't believe in that. Well, Simon was married. Did you know that? I mean, after all, Jesus healed his mother-in-law in Capernaum. And if you've got a mother-in-law, that means you've got a wife, right? Duh. So they look at me as if to say, why'd you bring that up? So we have a good time laughing about the mutual history. And also keep in mind now, we owe a lot to the Catholics. We do. Because were it not for the Catholic churches in the Middle Ages, chaos would have reigned in the Western civilization. Because it was reigning anyway. Nothing but fighting and battles, and everywhere you turn, chaos, except in the church. Now, it took its hits, right enough, but it was the citadel of education, of learning, of worship. And then, of course, came the age of discovery. Then, of course, came the printing press. Then, of course, came the times when people learned to read, and they learned to read this book and found there were other interpretations besides the usual Roman Catholic interpretation as to what salvation was. Then you had your splits with Martin Luther, and the rest is history. The Protestant Reformation caused the split. So we Protestants then had to ask the question, well, you know, if we really believe that Simon Peter is the rock on which the church is built, why are we not Catholic? Why have we founded another church like the Lutheran or the Church of England or the Methodist Church? We're not Catholic anymore. And then the interpretation of Matthew's gospel lesson, where becomes what becomes the foundation of the church, is not Peter the rock, but Peter's confession. So when we say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, that is the foundation of a church. It is our foundation for being here at Rockwood. It is the confession of faith in Jesus Christ. And when we confess that, God hears us. And we become well on our way to inviting him with the doors open, like in that little model of a church playing Amazing Grace. We open the doors of our heart and say, come, make us a holy church. A holy universal church. But you know, that means that we human nature folks have to set that human nature aside so the spiritual realms of reality will be prominent instead of the usual ways that life deals and we deal with life, with the issues surrounding us. Now, this means that the church is both holy and it is human. It is the confession, you are the Christ, that sets the holy church apart as unique and something that you look for beyond the humanness of the church. So the Roman Catholic Church, they had competitors, the Greek Orthodox Church, for example. It has a history all its own, which is different from the Roman Catholic Church. Some of the most beautiful music I've ever heard and sung, for that matter, composed by Greek Orthodox musicians. Fantastic, gorgeous music. But Catholic transcends Roman Catholic, Protestant, Greek Orthodox. It is the holy part of every organization calling itself a church, which lifts up the Spirit of Jesus, saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Which brings us now to what is church. You know what holy is? It's universal across all the denomination lines. But what is a church? Well, we say it's people. That's right. And when Moses was up on Mount Sinai getting the Ten Commandments, it's called an assembly. The assembly of the people waited for his word from on high for him to come down and say, "This is the word." So assembly in the Old Testament is the meaning of the word church. In the New Testament, ekklesia, Greek for church, that talks about what's called the body of Christ. Now, very important. On this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Jesus builds a church based upon the confession of faith. The church is also called the bride of Christ, not just the body of Christ. When we have the sacrament of Holy Communion, which will be in 2 weeks, the preacher administers the sacrament, but this is a practice session for the grand time when Jesus himself will administer the food to all the saints who come and kneel before him. Next week, we deal with the communion of the saints. We'll talk about that, what it's going to be like to commune with the saints. But it will be in a church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. Now keep in mind what body means. There are many parts to a body, according to St. Paul. Their eyes, their ears, their feet, their hands. Also, there are many gifts that are given to the different members of the body. The gift of prophecy, the gift of faith, all kinds of opportunities, even speaking in tongues, closely added, and interpreting what is spoken in tongues. So now we are dealing with diversity as well as unity. The unity is in the confession of faith. You are the Christ. The diversity deals with the gifts that all of us bring to Christ for him to use, and we then become his body. Have you thought about yourself being the body of Jesus? Think about that. Think about the implications. The body of Jesus. Because you see, Jesus ascended. The Holy Spirit came. Where does the Holy Spirit reside? In our bodies. All of us who confess Jesus is the Messiah. That opens us up to receive that Spirit so Jesus' Spirit can be inside our bodies. That's what's meant. I've told you before about Christian. It means a little Christ. You say you're a Christian. I say I'm a Christian. It means we have allowed and encouraged and invite the Spirit of Jesus to inhabit us in our body, in the body of the church. So then what does the church do for Jesus? Why have it? Do we really need a church? The answer is yes. Can I be saved without the church? Many are the times when I would ask people, "You have a church?" They would say to me, "No, but I'm a Christian. I get a lot more out of talking to God by myself next to the lake and watching a beautiful sunrise or a sunset." I usually say something smart like, "Yeah, with a line in the lake, hoping you pull a fish out in the meantime." And they kind of chuckle and says, yeah, that happens too. But I just worship better without people. But how did you know what or how to worship if you haven't had a church to tell you how to worship or why to worship or that you need to worship or what God is all about? And you get the first understanding of what our job is as the body of Christ. It's to educate. It is up to the church to educate the following generation, for us to continue learning too. We don't know it all. There are things that surprise me that are in the Bible. I've been a preacher all my career, and I still am discovering fascinating insights that I hadn't seen before. You have too. So education, that's a very important thing that we have the responsibility and the privilege to do to the younger generation. Educate them. What's going on? Second thing is worship. This is the unique thing that a church does. It worships. You can have all kinds of organizations do mission work. The Rotary Club, for example, has a worldwide plan to eradicate a very terrible disease. I used to be a Rotarian. I didn't get to attendance as much as I should, so I thought I probably ought to drop out. And they called me out on my lack of attendance to the Rotary Club one time, and I said, you know, I'm really quite busy. I'll tell you what, I'll come in as often as you go to church. How's that? They didn't want to go there. But you see, church and worship, that's something we do uniquely. Others can and do have mission. The mission of the Lord, yes. But to come and worship, to sing His praises, that's different. That's what sets us apart. And then, of course, there's service. Others can do service. But one thing a church has is mission and service. One thing you and I as Christians have, it's mission and service. I hope you're asking yourself, I challenge you to do so, what is my mission? My personal mission. You don't have to tell anybody else. But what's my personal mission as a follower of Jesus? Do I have a unique service project that's just mine, that I do because I personally am following Jesus? Of course, we have mission as church. What are our mission projects? I can think of many. Many that we use as well as many we interface with. That's critically important. But always remember, dear friends, that the church really is the body of Christ. There's a very old poem that I learned when I was a little boy. I'll share it with you, and I'll bet you anything you've heard this too. But it illustrates how Jesus depends on the likes of you and me as we confess He is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Here it is. I apologize for the sexist language in it, but I just simply want to read it as He wrote it. He, that is Jesus, has no hands but our hands to do His work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in His way. He has no voice but our voice to tell men how He died. He has no help but our help to lead men to His side. It's very old, but it's true. Think of the implications. You and I are members of Christ's Holy Catholic Church. We believe in that church. We said we did on the creed. This has implications for you and me. Implications that are critical for the work of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our concluding hymn is, "The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ our Lord." It is number 545 in our hymnals. There may be those who would like to come about the altar for prayer, perhaps to join the church, or simply ask for special consideration in our prayer life. Others, perhaps, who just simply like to come and kneel at the altar rail. I invite you to come as we sing this hymn. We'll stand as we sing. A prayer concern that I think all of us need to be very much aware of, and go ahead and begin praying for it even now. She has a friend who has a daughter, about 12, who fell out of the back of a moving truck and is very gravely injured. She's in the intensive care at Children's Hospital in Knoxville. So let's keep this person, as well as the family, in our prayers. Now, will you receive the blessing? In peace, go forth. Leave this place of worship very much appreciative of being called to be part of the Holy Catholic Church. Go forth, stand with pride throughout a world that presents the gates of Hades wherever we are, and let God conquer all the things that would oppose him, oppose you, and oppose his word from being proclaimed. Go forth, people of God, and enjoy your salvation.